Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the
Yes, indeed. Time to talk movies and more as Alan Adams joins us. And Alan had to play that to honor the great James Earl Jones.
I had not heard that yet. So, that's a tough one.
93, I mean, it's a heck of a run, but I was saying earlier, he just seemed like one of those guys who would always be around.
Right, like that's the thing, isn't it? Because, you know, and he's had his, you know, he's played his part in so many different sort of iconic kinds of cultural moments that it's just, you know, I mean, he's never going away. Like, I mean, he's going to be with us forever. And, but again, like you said, I mean, 93, like I wouldn't have guessed.
No. I feel like he was just on Broadway within the last 4 or 5 years.
Right. That sounds right. Yeah. Yes. I assume whenever August Wilson writes The End, his first call is to like James Earl Jones.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but, that's a hard one. That is a hard one.
I somewhere along the way, I remember reading, because remember he did that that little short little liner, "This is CNN,"
right?
And I remember reading what he got for that. it was probably more than he got for any movie role, any Broadway role ever. But when you got a voice like that,
right? I mean, if I'm Ted Turner, I assume it was Ted Turner at that point.
Yeah,
like I'm just like, yeah, just write a number down, James.
Right, it's yours.
Yeah, man, whew, that's tough.
Yeah,
it's. I will say, good on you for playing that particular moment. I think that's probably his most iconic cinematic, like certainly, like soliloquy, monologue, whatever you want to call it. Like that's. I mean, I don't think. I mean, not only is it his best, it's. I mean. One of like it's in the conversation for best ever. I think, you know, as someone who...
and there are people who have in recent years it's become fashionable to poo-poo Field of Dreams, and I get it.
Sure,
there were elements about it that were a bit forced.
Well, I mean, at the risk of being glib, it's corny.
Yes,
but it's corny in a very like heartfelt and honest kind of way.
Right.
First of all, read the book if you haven't. Shoeless Joe by W.P. Kinsella is a phenomenal read. And the movie captures a lot of that same sort of spirit. Like there's just it's easy for us to be cynical in the world that we live in. And, and we're put off is maybe a little strong. But I think there are people who struggle to embrace actual sincerity.
Yeah.
And there's a real sincerity to that film in so many ways, whether you're talking about, you know, baseball or family or community, like it is very sincere. And, from a 21st century, you know, we're a quarter of a way through the 21st century at this point, that could read as, you know, trite or hackneyed. It's not.
The book is great, too, because in the book, the James Earl Jones character is an actual famous author.
Right. An actual noted reclusive author who lived in New England. You know what? Read the book. You'll figure it out, folks.
Exactly. Well, how was your weekend, Al?
It was pretty good. Busy. We were out and about a good deal more than we necessarily would have anticipated. Paid a visit to Friends of Downtown Central Street Farmhouse.
Nice.
And we made mead.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's so cool. And Josh was so helpful through the process. And, look out Christmas 2026 because everybody's getting some mead.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, because it's like you make the thing and then it has to ferment for like 6 months. And then you bottle it and then it's like a year minimum before you. And it's, so it's like... I'm someone who spent most of his life not really worrying about what I was going to do tomorrow. So planning this far ahead is pretty exciting. So we did that. We had a chance to we met up with two different friends, like couples that we're friends with. So we had a lovely dinner Saturday night and Sunday night in various coastal parts of the state. We farmers marketed. I mowed the lawn.
Wow.
Yeah, no, we got after it.
Got a lot of living in this weekend.
Yeah. I'm very tired.
Seriously. I hope you, Frank, I hope you put your feet up and rested at work today.
I'm not at liberty to say. No, it's funny, too, because it's actually a surprisingly busy time at work as well. And it's just one of those things where, when it comes to work, I joke, but I'd rather be busy than not busy.
Yeah. Well, you're never not busy.
I suppose that's true. That's fair.
Well, have you seen any movies since last we visited?
Well, there was one that I wasn't going to miss coming out this weekend. We went and saw Beetlejuice. TLDR, loved it.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. I had a great time. Sheridan had a great time. It was, honestly, and we've talked in the past about the relatively low hit rate on this sort of like long-term legacy sequel. This is a hit, it hits. I was far from the only person to go see it this weekend.
Right.
I saw the last number I saw was $111 million domestic for the weekend. It's the third biggest opening weekend of the year. It's the third or fourth biggest September opening ever. And I'm glad because it was super fun. It was, everything about it was handled as well as this sort of legacy sequel can handle things, which isn't surprising. Like Tim Burton's,
right.
he knows what he's doing, everyone who really mattered came back for this. We'll discuss one notable absence in the course of this.
Jeffrey Jones?
Yes. And how that was handled, which was exquisite.
Oh, fantastic.
So the basic gist is the movie is set present day. So we're talking, 35 years, 40 years.
You're killing me.
The original came out, I want to say 1988.
Wow.
So yeah, so we're in that sort of 35, 40 year range. It's been a minute.
Well, yeah, Winona Ryder was 15 when that came out?
Yep.
Good Lord.
She does not look much different.
No.
Which is weird in its own. So it's set present day. Lydia Deetz, that would be Winona Ryder's character, she has become the host of a very popular paranormal ghost hunters type show, which again, hilarious.
Fantastic.
Such a smart play. She basically the set of the show is a recreation of the attic from
wow.
The house in the original. It's just it's just cute. We'll keep talking about it. Her producer / director is this guy named Rory, played wonderfully by Justin Theroux, also her boyfriend. He is very much a sensitive new age guy, even with the tiny little ponytail. That's their relationship. She's doing a thing, and then we see that she's having these flashes. Because she still sees ghosts. That's the thing.
Okay.
She still does. Most of the time, not an issue. But she started having these flashes where she sees Beetlejuice again. And that's freaking her out a little bit. She's on medications to sort of tamp down the ghost visions. It's one of those things where you're not quite sure if it's in her head or if it's real when she sees Beetlejuice. But then she goes into the bathroom and has an extended conversation with an actual ghost. And it's like, oh, okay, so we're still doing this, which, again, great. But that's when she gets a phone call from Delia, her stepmom, the amazing Catherine O'Hara.
Oh, man.
Who has become a world-renowned, frankly, intermedia artist. Where she's transcended the world of sculpture.
Perfect.
And she herself has become the canvas. It's so good. It's so good. And as someone who has spent a little time in the dealing with the academic side of the art world, it's like, oh man, like I've Like, I haven't met this person, but I've met people that have met this person.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But she calls, and she calls to tell Lydia that her father, Charles, has passed. And it's like, and you know, you get that, and it's like, and I'm like, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, I don't know how many of these other people know exactly what went on with Jeffrey Jones. It is not good. And like, I'm like, there's no way Tim Burton brought him back, right? There's no way.
You can't.
You absolutely cannot. And well, they didn't. The character is back. We get to see how he died. I'm not going to tell you how.
Okay.
But we get to see how he died. It all plays out in claymation.
Oh.
So he's not there, and it's not his voice. Like, it's like they have effectively erased him, and he does. We do spend some time with him, following him around the underworld a little bit, but the manner of his death makes it so it doesn't matter that it's that Jeffrey Jones isn't there. I'm not going to tell you how. Okay. I'm not going to tell you what. Perfect. because honestly, like, you need to see it for yourself because now, it's so GD funny.
Is he in prison?
No,
he's not.
No.
I thought he was.
Yeah.
But upon further reflection, he's just on like all the probation.
No.
And has received, been in trouble. I think two different occasions he's been arrested because he has not registered as the type of offender that he is. But anyway, I digress. So we learn that he's died, and so. They're gonna get the family back together to go and they're gonna go back to the old house and do like a funeral, a remembrance. And so Lydia has to call her daughter, Astrid, played by Jenna Ortega, who like it's like you grew someone in a lab
to play
not just to play Winona Ryder's daughter, to play Lydia Dietz's daughter.
Yes.
It's perfect. She's really talented. She's great here.
But she was Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And she's in like prep school, kind of the butt of jokes because of what her mom does and stuff like that. Lydia and Delia come to pick her up, and there's a whole scene. It's very funny. And then they go to the house to say goodbye. Well, as it turns out, there are other forces at work, it's funny. It's. I don't want to explain too much because there's so much. But we'll suffice it to say, another ghost with an axe to grind has returned. Along the way, really just giving the business to. At least one delightfully cameoed ghost, Danny DeVito, shows up for a hot minute.
Love it.
But they're left with the circumstances leave them with no choice but to call the big guy back in.
Oh boy!
Beetlejuice, Michael Keaton. Look, I'm not gonna say he's been waiting for this phone call, but man, like. From the second he appears on screen, it's like, oh, Michael Keaton is so happy to be here.
Yeah.
He's so psyched to be being this guy again. And it's just like, man, it's like, wow, it's a kind of a, you know, it's been kind of a good stretch for him, like revisiting classics. What with when he did, you know, he brought Batman back last year and now he's like, he's got Beetlejuice happening again. Again. I'm not going to go into too many plot details because it's so much more fun to watch it unfurl as you go. But suffice it to say, little bits and pieces from that you remember and love from the original reappear. Look, is there a children's choir singing a children's choir version of Deo at the funeral? Maybe there is. That might happen. You know, is there an extended dream ballet sequence set to MacArthur Park? Maybe.
There might be. I heard about that Jimmy Webb's Facebook page.
It's one of those moments, and there are a number of those moments in this movie. It's one of those moments where you just kind of stop and you look around and it's like, is this really happening? Is this a real thing that's happening right now? But yes, so funny, so smart, such a wonderful sort of, it's a very honest and loving homage to these characters and to this story while also bringing something new to the table. One of the most impressive new things brought to the table, by the by, an absolutely going for it Willem Dafoe.
I love it.
I mean, he's a former action star who died doing his own stunts and is now one of the afterlife's like sort of cops. He's an afterlife cop, behaving as an action movie cop. I mean, it works on so many levels. It's so clever and it's so smart and it's so funny while also being like almost like a warm hug. It's like, it's like, you know, I was in the wheelhouse for this movie when it came out, like, you know, and it's just like remembering how good it was and how funny it was and how like surprisingly complex its exploration of life and death is. And then, but also being like, oh yeah, the dude with the shrunken head and, oh yeah, like janky stop motion sandworms. Like one of the things I said to Sheridan as we were going to the movie, I'm like, look, all I want is like, don't smooth out the sandworms, man. Right, like right, just right. Like, I want them to look janky, you know, and like claymation and like the whole thing and what that they are CGI, but CGI'd in such a way as to recapture that sort nice. Of vibe. And it's just like, yes, everything about this, yes, yes, yes. The performances, exceptional. You know, it's I will say Winona Ryder still fits in the dress. You know, and Catherine O'Hara is like, it's so funny because this, I feel like this character was almost like a, like the seeds of some of her later work.
Yes, absolutely.
Kind of born of this. Right. And so we're watching like that has come to full flower. And so we get to see her kind of like delve back into that. You know, Ortega is wonderful. Like she's got such a wonderful, like macabre kind of vibe that really like resonates with this storytelling. Thoreau is good. I mentioned Dafoe, who is just absolutely, I mean, he's on 11 the whole time. In that
as only he can do
in that particularly unique Willem Dafoe way. Yeah. Monica Bellucci is in this as one of the sort of heavies. Like again, I'm not going to go into too much detail, although she does play a prominent part in what one of the things we learn in this movie, Beetlejuice's origin story.
Oh,
which nice. Was yeah. I was not expecting, no. But it was there's a wonderful sequence mid movie that really. Explain some things.
Yeah, okay.
It explains some
good,
things.
Good.
But like, it looks great. The jokes are good. The characterizations are really well executed. But in the end, what really makes it work is like everyone's clearly so glad to be there. You know what I mean? And again, like I know it's, you know, it's a job. Everyone's doing people don't deliberately like. Do less than their best, like that's not, but it's just you can tell when the people involved not only enjoy what they're doing but enjoy the people that they're doing it with, and that is that vibe is just permeating this movie. $111 million, whatever, I hope it makes 10 times that, because it's just a hoot. Like it's super fun, and I saw a thing where the question was, you know, is this movie appropriate for kids? Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I mean, the first one wasn't really appropriate for kids.
No,
it kind of became a kids movie in some ways. But, you know, there are some sequences that are pretty scary. It gets a little weird in some spots. Older kids will be fine. Yeah. Like, just, you know, keep the young ones out of there and you'll be fine. But again, like if you have any affection in your heart for the original, like go see it. Like it will not disappoint you. And like I was a little worried that it was going to, honestly, because again, when you revisit something that kind of has that level of like love, like generational love, like, yeah. I mean, how many, Like, how many people of a certain age, like, could you say, like, who's going to say they don't like Beetlejuice? Like, right. Nobody. It's such a wonderful movie. And while this certainly doesn't ascend to those heights, it's really a shockingly well-made and well-developed follow-up. Like, I couldn't be happier about this movie.
Oh, it's awesome. Well, I can't wait to see it. Because you need that. There's something like completing that circle. You know, coming back around to these characters that you loved and that they loved. Obviously, I think that's probably one of the reasons why it's so good, is because people like Keaton especially, but Catherine O'Hara, Winona Ryder, they know what those characters meant to their careers, and they don't want to let them down.
Yeah. You know, and there were a couple things where it was like, you know, you're like, well, Jeffrey Jones clearly isn't going to be here. Will Alec Baldwin? and Gina Davis? And again, like, you know what? Spoiler alert. No Alec Baldwin, no Gina Davis. It's fine. Like, they kind of closed their own circle. Right.
They moved on.
Yeah. In the original movie. So there's no need to bring them back. But yeah, again, I can't stress enough. It's certainly better than I anticipated, and it is far, far better than it needed to be. Nice. Like, that's the thing. Like, it's like, you could have, like, this could have been an easy cash grab, would have made an equal amount of money, even if people had just phoned it in. And not a single one of these people gave anything less than their best. Nice. And so, yeah, go see it.
Alan Adams, the lowdown on how many times have we said it?
I think we've crossed that Rubicon, man. Like, okay. I think.
Beetlejuice, there you go. Thanks, Al.
My pleasure.
It is 5:42 here on Downtown.